listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Dr. Melody Fox right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome. I'm Alan Cardoza, and you're listening to Answers for the Family. Each Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, this show brings you answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. Now, my co-host, Dr. Melody Fox, is unable to be with us today, but I look forward to her return next week. In the meantime, this show will continue to address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, or dealing with addictions. We will introduce you to specialized schools, programs, and new innovations that can help you and your family find greater peace and joy together. With over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in these areas of expertise who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, today's topic, improving parent-child relationship and strengthening your family, is a topic that I believe is timeless. But with the state of our economy and the ever-increasing demand on parents to earn a living and children striving to succeed in school or not, coupled with the distraction of the information age, I believe it's getting harder to build meaningful relationships and have a strong family. Now, our guest today to talk about this is Mark Hobbins. Mark is the founder and president of FamilyIQ.com, the nation's leading online source for parenting and relationship education. Now, having known Mark for I'd say over 25 years, I can tell you he has passionately pursued his mission of strengthening families since before we met, when he was the co-founder of the nation's largest teen treatment organization before he started Family IQ. Now, during that time, Mark served as a member of the colleague panel for the Council of Accreditation of Services to Families and Children, and as a board member of the Outdoor Behavioral Healthcare Industry Council, the National Association of Therapeutic Wilderness Camps, and has been a consulting expert for numerous media organizations that, I mean, it includes CBS, NBC, People Magazine, The Wall Street Journal, Forbes, LA Times, New York Times, and probably others I can't remember. Now, Mark has also consulted with and appeared on various television shows throughout the world, including Brat Pack. No, it wasn't Brat Pack. What was it? It was Brat Camp. It was Britain's Youngest Boozers, A&E's Intervention, Tyra Banks, and Dr. Phil, to name a few. Mark has also authored and co-authored dozens of articles, courses, and workbooks to help parents improve their parenting skills and strengthen their family. But all of that said, I happen to know that Mark feels his greatest accomplishment is his 33-year marriage to his wife, Diane. Together, they are the parents of 7 children and 5 grandchildren. Mark, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Well, thank you, Alan. It's a delight to be with you, and I really appreciate what you are doing and this show and how it influences family. So thank you for having me.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate that that feedback. You know, I know that really what I was trying to do when I formed this show was just to get the information out that there are people like you, there are programs out there, there are new innovative things that families, you know, can find and can use to really bring greater joy to their family. And what I realized, I mean, as an investigator locating runaways and working with some of the kids, when I would talk with the parents and ask, well, what's your plan? I mean, now that I've found your child, what's your plan? And I'd get this blank look of, I don't know, what do I do? And so I realized that there are just so many parents out there that don't know what's available to them. That was actually my motivation, and that's what brought this show you know, to begin for me. So it's all about getting the word out.
It is about getting the word out. And I think what's been intriguing about what you've done over your career is that I think you've been an agent of change for a lot of people who don't know where to turn. And I think that both of us have realized that there is an opportunity for us to bring information in the hands of parents so that they can do wonderful things with and for their children. And I'm sure that's what we're talking about today.
Well, and that's why I'm glad to get this information out, which is Family IQ. So let's get right to that. I've had a chance to go to the website. I've had a chance to go over quite a bit of it. I've talked to some of the people that are doing it, and I've gotten great feedback. But let's hear it from you. What is Family IQ?
Well, Alan, it's a wonderful question, and thank you for asking it. I call it that Family IQ is the handbook for parenting that you never received. You know, most of us didn't get some sort of a handbook when we were either married or had children, raised a teenager, young adult, but we have those kinds of information and answers that I think is really valuable. So Family IQ, simply put, is a website that parents can access to learn today's skills, tips, and techniques to build stronger families today.
Okay. Now, so when somebody goes to the website, and I want to share with everybody out there that's listening, this show is interactive. The beauty of it is that you can go to this website right now, and as we're talking about it, as Mark tells us about a particular part of it, you can go to it and you can look at it as well. Obviously not if you're driving your car, but you know, when someone arrives there, I mean, you know, what can the parents do? What can they learn once they get to that? And again, parents, you can go to that, or professionals, and it's just familyiq.com. You can open up that particular box. You can look at it. Just keep your volume tuned to us, and you can hear us talk and look at what we're talking about.
Alan, one of the things that families can do, so many things on familyiq.com. It's a place for you to learn and develop some skills. There are things that every family can do today to make a difference with their relationships inside their family, with their children, with their partner. There are so many things that parents can do. It's a vast library of content, but let me narrow it down for your audience.
Okay.
One of the things that parents very much enjoy doing is coming to our website and taking these assessments. We have dozens and dozens of assessments to learn things like what your parenting style is or what your communication style might be or to learn actually what your family IQ number is.
Okay. So, but let's get a little more specific. I know when I went on there that if the family goes on, they take a particular thing. So let's say they take the Family IQ test. What is that going to tell them about maybe where they're at, or is it going to tell them things that they can do to improve their family? Where's that going to take them?
Well, there's a couple ways that families, when they come to the website, that they can browse and learn. One is they can just search by topic, and they could look at things like discipline or communication. But there's something that's very unique, that's proprietary to us, that no one else happens to offer, but we've been able to do it with our team of professionals. When families come to the website, you can take what we call your Family IQ assessment. And let me put it this way. Families happen to have a way of being, a way of living with each other that either may be effective or not effective. And let me kind of use this analogy. When you go to the doctor or the staff, when you come into the office, will first take sort of your vital signs, right? They'll take things like your height or your weight, your blood pressure. Well, in the same way that your body has vital signs, so does every family. And Family IQ's team of experts has created this online assessment, what we call the Family IQ test or assessment, that allows a parent to identify and assess their family vital signs, or as we like to say, your Family IQ score.
Okay.
Your score is neither good or bad. It just happens to be, Alan, a confidential score that lets you as a parent identify and measure your family against 9 key areas, or what we call 9 key vital signs. And that's how we develop your Family IQ score. And from there, you can pursue any one of those 9 areas. Or like I say, you can search by topic or whatever. It is the most profound assessment that's been created. And again, like I say, Family IQ is the only one in the world who has developed this proprietary assessment to help you identify your Family IQ.
Wow. I mean, that's great. And I think that's one of the things that will help a lot of the families, because again, the type of calls that I get, and let's take one of those situations and maybe you can walk everybody through, because I think one of the most common calls that I will get, let's say from a runaway situation, you know, is that the parents will say, you know, first, you know, we're not communicating and we have found drugs. You know, we found, you know, that our child is taking drugs. We confronted him on it, you know, yesterday, and this morning we woke up and he took off. You know, we explained to him of what a consequence was going to be. Obviously, they didn't even want to accept the consequence, so they've run away. So at this point now, if a parent knows that there are communication problems and they know that at least at some level there is a drug issue, how is that going to work if they're now going in and checking out where their problems are? So let's say we have that family and that you're going to walk them through it.
Well, again, I think that information is power. Information gives an opportunity for parents to make the right choice with their child. One of the things that we've experienced personally in our own family, and I'm sure that most families who are listening to this today can appreciate a scenario. It's not uncommon that a family may find their child, you know, participating in drugs or alcohol, and as crazy as it may sound, a lot of parents will just let that go by. They some are very concerned, and those who are, we have some great things to do for them and how they could sort of rescue that child and move that child in a different path and direction. But at the same time, I want you to know that there's a lot of families and a lot of parents who sort of say that's sort of just like growing up. You know, that's just what kids do today. And so one of the things that we try to identify for a parent is, hey, take this assessment that will help you identify your parenting style. Because your parenting style, Alan, will guide you as a parent in understanding how you interact with your child and how you end up producing the kind of behavior in your child that's going to bring about responsible, independent, pro-social behavior. So if I may, let me just sort of expand upon this idea of identifying your parenting style, if I may.
I'd love to.
Thank you. I think it's important that for your listeners to recognize that decades ago, preliminary started by a woman by the name of Dr. Diana Baumreich. She was a seminal researcher on what we call parenting styles. And there are basically four parenting styles. Just like in terms of personality style, we might say there's four personality styles. But in parenting, there are four basic parenting styles. And you identify your parenting style based on two issues, Alan. We call that warmth and control. Now, okay, we don't use the word control much anymore. It's not a politically correct word. So we might substitute the word control with accountability, right? Warmth, okay, and accountability. Parents with high accountability and little warmth are known as authoritarian parents. Okay. They're kind of like a dictator. They're very demanding. They don't have, you know, much warmth or expressive love at all. They're just demanding. Now, mm-hmm, the opposite of an authoritarian parent would be our second style of parenting that we call the permissive style. Permissive parents have little or no rules and boundaries. Now, the third style is identified as an uninvolved parent. Now, this parenting style suggests that a parent is so focused really on their own life and sort of their own needs that their children sort of take a back seat. Maybe sometimes we call them latchkey kids. Mm-hmm. The uninvolved parents just isn't really much involved, obviously. And the final parenting style, which is the one that I think we want to spend a little bit of time on, is the one that we call authoritative style. The authoritative, okay, style is the most effective style. Now, when a parent understands these four styles and how they are able to assess and see themselves in terms of their parenting style and how it relates to these four styles, they can, if they choose, they can make some dramatic impact on how they interact with their children. In other words, we want to teach people things that they may not even be aware of. You sort of, as a parent, you don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And when you come to Family IQ, you could learn the things that you don't know and how these bits of information and the skills that we teach can guide you into perhaps a more effective parenting style.
Well, Mark, now why do you and or the parenting IQ research suggest that the authoritative style is the most effective?
Alan, research has shown that when children are raised in a home where an authoritative style, remember, that's the one with high warmth and high accountability, okay? Mm-hmm. In a home where that exists, children are happier, well-adjusted, and they certainly are more pro-social in terms of their behavior. Now, what does this mean? It fundamentally means that children who experience high levels of warmth and love, coupled with high expectations and boundaries, the parents are more likely to have children who are not only healthy, but they're stable, they're independent, and they're responsible, and they will have more fulfilling interpersonal relationships. So we believe that if you found, if you're a parent and you found, you know, drugs or your child was sort of out of control, we think the authoritative style would say, there's some accountability here. I love you, but I'm going to do the things that are necessary for you. I'm not going to let this pass by. I'm not going to sweep it under the rug. I'm not going to feel bad about it for 2 weeks and just sort of mope about it. I'm actually going to take action. And so we know, as of course research knows, that the authoritative style is the one that you take action, you have expectations, you have accountability, you demand accountability. At the same time, you're very expressive in your love and warmth towards your children.
Right, and this is the parent that is not wrapped up in this thing of I need to be my child's best friend. And I think that's one of the issues that I think a lot of us run into is, you know, the parent is more concerned with being their best friend than being a parent. And being a parent sometimes means you can't always be their best friend.
Oh, Alan, you are so right. You've nailed it once again, frankly, that one of the things that we've done over the years at FamilyIQ.com is make our online courses and assessments available to many treatment programs that you've worked with a lot of those over the years. And one of the things that they require of their parents who enroll their children into treatment is about a 35-minute course we call Being a Parent versus Being a Friend. And it is clearly one of our most popular courses. We're not here to blame the parent or make them feel guilty. We're here to help them be able to assess how they're interacting with their child and how they could find a more healthy, appropriate, and functional way to get their child moving on into a path of independence and responsibility.
Well, and you just touched on something else, and actually it reminds me of a little story, but you're hitting on something that I think many years ago was one of the biggest concerns that I had, and that was the fact that the parents not necessarily seeing what the common denominator was when we would take them to a specialized program, and it reminds me of a particular case because of the fact that the child had either run away after they got back home, or in some manner the parents had to call us in three times after the child had gone to a program. And the third time the father sat down with me and he said, Alan, can you tell me what the hell is going wrong? Why do these programs keep failing my child? And I said, well, let's think about this for a minute. What's the common denominator? And he thought about it and he thought about it and he said, oh, coming back to me? So, well, you came up with it. Let's think about this. But I think, so I love what you're saying is that you're working with the programs to be able to bring the parents along too, because so many times these parents spend all this money to send their child to the program and they come back and the parent never changed. So I love it.
That is so true. One of the things that, Alan, I think you and I have talked over the years, and I think is helpful to your audience, and that simply is to say that for those of us who've been around for, you know, a quarter of a century, both Alan and I independently, so between us we have more than 50 years of experience in working with troubled families and good families who have kids who turn, you know, go sideways on them. And I can tell you that so much of the heartache and the pain associated with having to enroll your child into a program could have been averted. Not 100%, but so much of it could have been averted. And clearly, if you have your child in a treatment program and your child is going to be returning back to your home, you clearly want to make the personal investment of figuring out how you can, as a parent, provide a different environment than one that's going to be more productive and supportive of the therapeutic progress your child has made. So we think that the common denominator, Alan, always is the parent. And if we can influence the parent, we know we can influence that child. And we've proven that, you know, for decades now. And we're just thrilled about the opportunity to do so.
Well, again, I think it's great. And I think that, you know, if that was the only thing that you were doing as far as helping to bring the parents along, I think that you know, that familyiq.com would be great, but I know that, that you're doing so much more. So tell us a little bit more about some of the things that Family IQ is doing.
Well, Alan, you mentioned earlier issues around communication. You know, communication obviously is probably the foundation on which all relationships are built, right? And and what familyiq.com has done is we've teamed up with Moody Publishing, and many of your audience may be familiar with Dr. Chapman's book called The Five Languages of Love.
Yep, I know I am.
Okay, very good. And so this is very simple, it's very basic, but it's very profound in its application, as I've experienced it personally. But the Five Languages of Love course is about a 35-minute course, online course, where you as a parent can assess and understand how you and the members of your family both communicate and receive love, okay? So one of the things that I've learned in my own marriage, right, which you acknowledge, thankfully, that was very kind of you, is that, you know, many of us who have a partner learn after years of difficulty that their partner prefers, you know, to be told, I love you, in a different way than maybe we're doing it. Let me give you just a personal example.
Okay.
It took me just a few months to figure out after my marriage to Diane that rather than flowers, what my wife really appreciated was me doing the dishes or vacuuming the house. You know, her actual love language was service, acts of service. That's how she showed me that she loved me and how she's done that for our kids. She will just go to the nth degree of doing things with and for our children. Well, if you don't get that, you're not going to be very effective as a parent. One of the ways that we've applied this in our own home and with literally hundreds of thousands of parents over the last, you know, more than a decade, is that they take an online assessment called the Languages of Love, and you can identify your love language, what we call your love language. Now, one day I had my children take this assessment, and I am a verbal guy. My love language primarily would be words of affirmation. I'm your cheerleader. I'm your best cheerleader, right? Uh-huh. And I could be around, you know, just cheering my kids on, tell them they're smart, they could do this, you've got the work ethic, all these sort of things that would sort of inspire, at least in my mind. But when after I gave my kids this assessment, I recognized that, you know, that they really didn't appreciate my language of communicating love for them and the words of affirmation. They were like their mother. They really felt like acts of service was more important. So what that translated for me is that when my kids are doing homework, hey, my opportunity is to help them, you know, make sure that dinner's ready, right? That they don't have to worry about dinner being, you know, taking forever or eating late at night when they didn't want to do that. I could do things along the way for my children. That was their love language. Now, I know lots of people whose love language may be gifts, quality time, et cetera. On Family IQ, a parent can take this assessment called Languages of Love and understand their love language and provide this assessment to all the members of their family so you could identify better what is valuable for your children or your partner in terms of being able to express love that is understood, recognized, and appreciated. There's a lot of people who do nice things for each other and say, I love you, but the other partner, if they don't sort of resonate the same way you do, if they don't operate the same way you do, not in the same wavelength, they're looking at a different love language. So we want you as a parent to communicate better, more effectively, by a very simple thing, and that's just coming to familyiq.com, taking our assessment on love languages, and learning all about love languages in 35, 40 minutes.
See, and I think that
benefits your family.
Yeah, I think it's great. And again, that is a book that I have read, but I thought of it more from the standpoint of my relationship with my partner. You know, with the love of my life, that was where I was thinking of it. I didn't even think that in regards to dealing with a parent. I mean, with the children, the child parent relationship. I think that's beautiful. And I think the other thing is that if somebody takes this and sees where they're at, it's probably going to help them in any relationship in life, in the way in which you deal with business partners or employees or you know, personal friends. I think this is great.
Thank you, Alan. You know, it is true. I've got stacks of letters of people who have written to me about how the information that they've learned at familyiq.com benefits them, not only in whether in their partnership, whether they're children at home, their friends. There's just so many applications, and we're gratified to hear that.
All right. Now, I know that it, having gone through the, you know, the site a little bit, I noticed that you have a section where people can get a personal coach. So I know that you can go on and you can take tests and things like that. But what about somebody that thinks that they need a little bit more personal attention? Tell us a little bit about that.
You know, it's not uncommon that that parents sort of want to fight the battle all on their own. And it's the strangest thing to me. You know, obviously, I am a parent, right? And you sort of feel this obligation to do everything on your own and carry the whole world on your shoulder. But you consider everything else outside of parenting, everybody has a coach. Executives have coaches. Athletes all have coaches. And no matter what specific sport you may be involved in, you all have a coach, right?
Uh-huh. I mean,
it's the funniest thing that I think is so ironic, that the most important thing in life, which in my opinion happens to be parenting and developing meaningful relationships, right? The most important thing in life, we don't have much help.
Right.
And so a parent coach is one of those people at Family IQ that when you take one of our online assessments or you take one of our 30 or 45 minute online courses, you're going to be intrigued about something because you're going to want to say, hey, I want to apply this more deeply. You're going to be, I think there's going to be some things that resonate with you as a parent. And so we provide Family IQ coaches that will not only coach you through the material, but they're going to coach you as to how you can best apply this in your own individual circumstance. And we think that has been very helpful. And we just have, you know, obviously hundreds and hundreds of successful clients and parents who have been very grateful that they can go a little deeper, that they can have someone there to coach them, encourage and support them, and to sort of, you know, help them through some of the tough times when they're learning to do something that's brand new. Sometimes it's a little awkward, and our coaches can help you get through that awkwardness to make it feel more genuine, more sincere, more real, and more effective in your life.
Well, and I think what it is it's a sign of the times, because I think there was a time in which when families stayed closer together, you might look to your parents or grandparents or someone to discuss those types of things. But now, I mean, we're such a transient society. People are so spread out. I think we don't have that person necessarily that we know that we can go to. Or, as you said, maybe they just aren't comfortable with going to them. So, again, I think this is something that is really, really helpful, and the time is right. Now, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back again. We're talking with Mark Hobbins. We are talking about it's familyiq.com. We're going to take a break. If you would like, if you haven't gone to the site yet, go to familyiq.com, bring that one up, take a look, and you'll be able to see, while we're talking about it, you'll be able to see exactly what we're talking about. We'll be right back.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
All right, we're back. You are listening to Answers for the Family. And again, as I said, you can go to Family IQ. We are talking with Mark Hobbins. And the subject really is all about what it is that we can do to bring greater peace and greater joy to all of our families. Now, Mark, I have an instant message that is coming across the computer right now. And this one reads, I am a divorced mother of three, ages 10, 13, and 17. My ex-husband has been negating much of the structure I am attempting to set for our children, and I am desperate for a way to overcome this. Will your system work for us?
Well, thank you for that question. I appreciate that. And I want to say first before I respond that I honor you for carrying a double load as a single parent of three children. You know, there is on our website several things that would be helpful to you. One is there's a course on single parenting because I think that you face a unique challenge of carrying, as I said earlier, sort of a double load, right? You have to be the parent, the breadwinner, the nurturer, the disciplinarian, all on your own. And I hold in such high esteem and just want to extend, you know, both encouragement and compassion for your unique circumstance. I can also say that there are seven courses on family IQ in addition to the ones on single parenting. It are ones about surviving divorce. And when you are in the situation that you're in, both with an ex-partner who has not supported you either financially or probably lots of other things or not in ways are not being supportive, that there are some things that you want to learn and know about and some skills that you can develop. And so when you go to Family IQ, there's an area that you can browse. And in fact, one of our 14 areas of topics is called Surviving Divorce. And there are three courses that speak specifically to your issue, both about your ex-partner and how they're creating a very unsupportive, maybe confrontive environment with you and the children, as well as specific strategies you can do in order to sort of work through this, overcome it, and provide your children a sense of consistency, predictability, and safety, frankly, because they're reacting to this as well as you are. And so I would encourage you to take a look at those courses called Surviving Divorce. There are seven of them, and you'll see by the introduction for each of those courses that the areas where I think you would be benefited. Again, you can certainly take all seven, but there are three that speak specific to your kind of issues and your question, and I would encourage you to take advantage of that.
Right, and if I can add to that, and I think too to this listener, and again, I'm also one that appreciates very much the job that many single parents are having to do out there, and you know, see what you can do to get your ex-spouse involved also. There's a right way and a wrong way to do it, but if there's a way that you can get them involved, if they can understand that this is something that you believe, you know, it's the main question to go back to everything is it in the best interest of the children? You know, so if you can get them to get involved too, so that you can get them on the same page, I think if there's any way that you can tell them, you know, or not tell them, let me rephrase that, ask them, you know, just check it out, see what it is that you think, and hopefully there'll be some things that they'll pick up on that they can also get involved, because I think that's going to be something that will be best for all three of your children.
You know, Alan, as a follow-up to that, if I might just interject this thought, I think to this listener that Alan is right, that I think to the extent that you can invite their parent, their birth parent, if you will, to look at something that's going to benefit the children and to take yourself out of the equation. You're not doing it for me, you're doing it for the children. It's really valuable. I can tell you this, that in many instances, our experience for the last, 12, 13 years has been that men particularly will respond to Family IQ because they don't feel as comfortable in talking to a person as they do an inanimate object like a computer. And so I can tell you that in instances where we find individuals maybe less comfortable in talking about their problems, sharing their challenges, with a counselor or a therapist, which we wholeheartedly agree and support. But at the same time, there are many people who love getting in front of their computer. They can, in the anonymity of their own sort of, workspace, they can go online, take this information, get some of the same psychoeducational information you're going to get from a counselor, and begin to apply that today is sometimes an easier path for many exes to take. And so, that might be something for you to just know.
Well, and on that subject, you know, we have now become a world of many blended families. So, Mark, tell us a little bit about some of the experiences that you've seen with Family IQ and how it's dealt with the new blended family.
Well, blended families, Alan, as you know, have very unique challenges. You're melding both personalities and parenting styles, and that's all laid on top of hurt and trauma to one degree or another. And so blended families have a very unique challenge, and it is a challenge. It never goes that smoothly. And so those of you who find yourselves in a blended family, there are some really specific things you can do that are both, I think, profound in their emotional impact, but also a little fun. Let me tell you about one that we've had done, several hundred thousand times. I mean, it's just incredible. I have about 40,000 people a month who do this very thing, and many of the families who have responded to me are families who are bringing two families together, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's called identifying your family brand. And what we teach people in this about a 40-minute online course is that in the same way that businesses or organizations benefit from having a family brand, so do individual families. If advertisement didn't work, you know, by McDonald's or Nike or whatever, if those didn't shape behavior, didn't motivate purchasing behavior, then I guarantee you they wouldn't do it. So why am I talking about this when you're talking about families? So simply to say that we have a proprietary process on Family IQ of helping you identify your family brand. This is a brand new beginning for both families, and now you're blended together to become one family. And I will promise you that kids, you know, while they are bright and very sensitive, and they'll pick up on a lot of things, but I tell you, as a parent, one thing you can do in a blended family, as would be good for any family, frankly, is to go through this course called Developing a Family Brand. Sit your family down and go through this process of identifying what is it in our family that we feel strongly about. I can share you with the Hobbins family, we have four basic family values in our family. First one is faith, family, fun, and forgiveness. Now, those four values occupy both our mind and our behavior always. I wouldn't even say every day, but maybe there's a day or two that we may slip or something, but there's fully opportunities to forgive in every family. That's a guiding principle in our home, and we strive to apply it every day. We know that having fun is important, so our kids love to do things. They love to recreate. They love to play games. It's important. Anyways, I can go through this, but really the idea is for every family, particularly a blended family, to now start anew. Get everybody together, go out to dinner because everyone's happier when they're eating. And over some sort of dinner, why don't you say, hey, what does our family stand for? What do we want to be known for? How do we want to operate? How do we roll in our family? And begin to identify some of these family values. As you go through the Family IQ, the Family Brand course, you're going to see how you can apply those values and develop your own sort of family logo. I mean, if you're talking about building unity and cohesiveness, oneness, and deeper relationships, I promise you it may sound funny to you, ladies and gentlemen, but it is profound. Like I said, I have about 40,000 people a month who come to my website and go through this process of creating a family brand. It works. There are tens of thousands of people who can tell you the same thing. So if I were talking to a family who is a blended family needing to sort of, you know, identify themselves a little stronger, build more family unity, build more cohesion, I would do that one. That would be a great, great thing for me.
All right. Yeah. And it sounds like a great starting point. And one of the reasons would be is that I think that it doesn't start out with, in other words, if you're a blended family or if you are a divorced family and you're asking somebody to do this, then if you're asking them to do something and they feel that it's because you need fixing or that type of thing, people tend to get defensive. I think if you're saying, let's get together and identify a family brand, nobody can take offense to that. There's no way they can say that they're somehow attacking me or that there's no reason to get defensive. So I agree, Mark. I think that's a beautiful way to get started. And now once people are getting in and learning about this, you can probably go a lot of different directions.
It really is a lot of fun. I will tell you that I get, you know, letters all the time from people who found the idea fascinating, who tried it, and they thought it was going to be awkward and kids resistant. But you're right, Alan. Our goal is to develop a fanny brand. This is not about Jim or Susie or Tom, Dick, and Harry. This is just about us as a family. Let's decide what we want to stand for. This is a new day for all of us. And let's make it as pleasant and as fulfilling as possible. And it's fun. It's just a lot of fun. And people will be, I think parents and kids will be surprised about how fun it is. And again, you know, hey, you get together, you put stuff on plates, you put it on your hat, you put it on T-shirts, you can take your family brand, or you end up transforming it into a logo in our process. And it's just fun. It's just a fun thing. It doesn't solve all of your problems, but it clearly is one of the foundational bricks, I think, that you want to lay as a blended family. And that is about who your family is, what this new family now is going to stand for. If I may, Alan, if I have one more second, I'd like to
share
something else that they do. One of the 9 key variables I suggested earlier in developing your family IQ score is one area is we call tradition. I don't know of an effective family who doesn't have a lot of traditions. And so if I were a blended family, if I were a parent and I had my children and my partner and their children, I would want to get together and start strategizing, both of us together as adults, and then to involve the children in developing some meaningful traditions in your home. Let me just share you one that we do.
Okay.
That I think is really valuable. I learned this, by the way, many years ago, about the time Alan and I got together. But we did this in a treatment program that we owned and operated, and it was just fascinating. And it simply is to say this. You probably make birthday cakes and things like that at your birthday for your children. Let me just offer you this following philosophy, okay, and skill. I believe in order to become an extraordinary parent, all you have to do is to put a little extra into the ordinary. Now, I know that sounds simple, but I'm just going to ask. You don't need to be a PhD to be a great parent. All you need to do is to develop some skills and to have some passion and to keep trying, right? Well, one of the ways that you keep trying is to do things a little bit different. Put a little extra into the ordinary things. So one of the things that we do in our family is we take you out to dinner, and Mom makes your favorite meal on your birthday. Well, you know, I've talked to thousands of families, and they do the same kind of thing. Well, what we learned is what we did in treatment programs many years ago, and we do this in our family today, and it is profound. And every family who does the same thing, I get the same feedback. What we do in our family is at some point in time of the family meal, we all take turns doing what we call a strength group. We call it a strength group. Simply, we go around a circle in our family, and we say one thing that we love or like or admire or respect about the person who's celebrating their birthday. We just did this on Saturday at a restaurant for one of our daughters who celebrated her 27th birthday. And I tell you, you cannot go through one of these things without your children, and we've done this for 20 years now, without them being impacted. You cannot hear enough good things about you, about yourself, and we rarely take the time to do that. That's a tradition in our home today, Alan, and you cannot have a birthday party in the Hobbins home without at the same time experiencing what you and I would refer to as a strength group, but my kids just realizes or recognize or call it just as, you know, that thing we do. It's just a way. I would like to suggest, ladies and gentlemen, that you become an active participant in developing traditions in your home and things that are fun to do, that make it fun to be with you as a parent. I could talk for hours about lots of suggestions. But I would just say, you know what those traditions can be. Involve your children in making an idea of what those can be. But I would suggest that every blended family, particularly, is going to benefit from developing some traditions in their home that they can celebrate together as a new family unit.
Well, first of all, I love it, and secondly, with 7 children and 5 grandchildren, you guys are doing this a lot.
Just about every month, aren't we?
which I think is beautiful, and I know, I mean, we have a tradition, but unfortunately it's only once a year, but it has to do with Thanksgiving, and each person writes something, and we go around the table, and they read what
beautiful.
It is that they've prepared, what it is that they're truly thankful for, to be, in some cases it might be, you know, to be part of this family, it might be to be in this country, to be, you know, the person that they are, or, you know, whatever it is, but they write something. And, but I, like I said, I love this. And I, as I said, is that, you know, you guys are doing it, real frequently, which, certainly sounds good. Now, we've got about 4 minutes left, but we have another instant message that has come across. I want to read it to you. And this one says, I have been a business coach for many years and am seriously considering adding a family coaching element to my practice. This is of interest to me because I feel that a balanced family, slash personal life positively affects a person's success in business. I see on your website you offer the opportunity for individuals to become certified parent coaches. Can you expand on how this works and perhaps a story about the success of one of your coaches?
Well, yes, I have. I can tell you many stories. Let me just say that one of the things that we believe that coaches, particularly those who are professional coaches like yourself who have done this for a long time, have not only their own experience they can speak from, but a professional, a certified family IQ parent coach has the entire family IQ curriculum. So when you go through and become a certified parent coach at Family IQ, we teach you these 9 variables of a successful, healthy, and effective family. And we give you all these resources that you could use as a coach. So not only do we train you as to what you can do and how you could be a person of influence in coaching another towards family health and well-being, but at the same time, we can provide you the tools that you and your coachee would be able to access and use in order to go even deeper. It's one thing to verbally talk over the telephone, which is valuable, but it's another thing to have a combination of both guidance via the telephone or online, and at the same time having a curriculum that you could refer people to help them progress and develop even further. We have a coach named Reggie in North Carolina who was he's like a child care worker, okay?
Uh-huh.
And Reggie became a certified parent coach with Family IQ about 2 years ago. And he started working with the state of North Carolina with a couple of unique situations that they had. And Reggie today is a full-time coach with a huge full-time practice and is making probably 3 times the money he made as a full-time child care caregiver. And I can tell you that his sense of self-esteem, self-worth matches his passion for life and his opportunity of influencing families all over the state. And so he's doing this. I know he's doing this internationally as well, but I know that his full-time effort now has become this coaching business, and he's just succeeded fabulously well with it. So as a coach, I think that there are a lot of things that parents can learn, or professionals like yourself, who can learn at Family IQ in terms of both the curriculum, the skills of interacting with people, and the opportunity to expand your financial capacity in terms of earning a full-time income.
Well, and Mark, yeah, thank you for that. And again, for this this person that sent this message in, you're probably a pretty successful business coach as it is because of the fact that you already recognize that correlation between what's going on in the person's personal life and how successful they're going to be in their business. So I think you already have a head start. So, you know, getting involved, getting certified on this level will probably only expand your own career. Now, Mark, unfortunately, we are just about out of time, but I want to, again, tell everybody out there, if you go to the site, it is www.familyiq.com. And again, as this person did, you'll see that there is a section that says become a certified professional coach. And right now, the way that our economy is, I think a lot of us are in positions to where we might want to, if we're already maybe a professional in this field, we might want to put something, you know, do something that may augment our career already. Mark, thank you so much. We've got about a minute. Is there anything that you would like to share?
Well, Alan, thank you for having me again today. And I would just say to those, you know, your listening audience that I personally believe that the greatest calling in life is to be a parent. or to be the kind of a person who could influence others for good. And it just doesn't happen by chance. It doesn't happen by osmosis. You can become a more effective parent if you will invest in yourself, in learning and developing some skills and tools that I'm sad to say were never taught to you unless you picked up some things from your family, which most of us have. But there is more that you don't know that you could know and you could do to become more effective. And so I would just say to you, you know, you're obviously the kind of a person who feels the same way, or you wouldn't be listening to Alan's program. I encourage you. I want you to know that parenting is easier and funner than it is for most people, and that we can help you do such a thing at FamilyIQ.com. Again, Alan, thanks for having me.
Again, Mark, thank you so much. Keep doing what you're doing. I look forward to talking to you again soon. And as you guys add things, if you have something new that you're doing, please let us know. I would love to be the conduit to help get the word out. And for everybody out there, thank you for listening. Be back with us next week. If you were driving and you weren't able to write down anything, again, you can always go to our site. That is answers, the numeral for thefamilyblog.com, and we will have all the information you need as well as information on how to get a hold of Mark and Family IQ. Everybody, have a wonderful week. Take care.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Dr. Melody Fox, right here on LA Talk Radio.